So our text for this Christmas day is the first part of John 1:14, these words, "And the Word became flesh." So our text, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, this first part of John, this opening to the fourth gospel, is the traditional gospel for Christmas Day. It has been for centuries, for probably over 1,000 years. Now, on Christmas Eve, we hear about angels and shepherds and a stable and a manger. But on Christmas Day, we hear about the Word of God who becomes flesh. Now, who is the Word of God? Who is the Word of God? He's the Son of God. The Word of God is the Son of God. But why does John use this term, Word, to describe the Son of God? The Son of God who became man in Jesus Christ. Well, let's think a moment about what a word actually is. The words we speak, the words we use, what do they do? What do our words do? Much, don't they? Growing up in our shop in our basement there in Colorado, there was an old wooden sign on which was written, "Make sure your brain is engaged before your mouth is in gear." More modern, simpler version would be, "Think before you speak." Now, what does that have to do with anything on Christmas? This thinking before speaking. Well, let's look around this morning. What do we see? We see the things that are a result of speaking after thinking has occurred. Beautiful building, heated by air being run over tubes in which gas is burning, gas delivered to the building underground. Above us, these lights are on. Lights invented over 100 years ago, powered by electricity generated by a coal-burning plant or a controlled nuclear reaction. We're here in the corner. It's an organ. Electronic organ, a digital organ, but the result of centuries of organs being built and improved upon, and right next to it's piano. Same could be said about it, but that technology is not as old as that of the organ. With carpet on the floor, woven in mills somewhere probably down south, shipped here and installed. And we're sitting, at least you're sitting, on pews that began as trees somewhere. Trees that were felled and processed and shaped and formed and finished. I mean, we could go on and on and on here about all the things around us made by man. Manufactured, created. But the point is the making, the manufacturing, the creating of all these things is a result of one thing, and that is the Word of man. That is, for everything that we encounter which has been made or manufactured, created, it is a result of the Word of man, of man's thoughts being turned into words and shared, and others and understanding those words flowing from the mind of man. End result? World full of pretty amazing things. Yes, when man is at his best and from his mind, even from his heart, comes words of wisdom and knowledge and insight, the end result is all of what you see here before us this Christmas day, and even much, much, much more. That truly is amazing, that the Word of man can do such things. Of course, there is a problem with the Word of man that you've no doubt already thought about, and that is that the Word of man can do and does do horrible things as well. Correct? Word of man can incite, instigate, can even destroy. And it is at such times, especially, that the true heart of man is revealed. Oh yes, man does use his word to create, to make, to build, driven as man is with the hopes always of a reward, a worldly reward, a remuneration of some sort. But so often the word of man does something else, something destructive, and that reveals man's heart. So our Savior in the Gospel of Matthew, hear and understand, it's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth. And then our Savior clarifies, do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is expelled, but what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart? And this defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. So you see, can't get away from it. Even though the word of man can and does accomplish many wonderful things, ultimately it does another thing which is not so wonderful at all, which is actually horrible. And that is the word of man, our word, reveals our hearts, what really is ruminating around inside there. Of course, most of the time, that part of us is hidden, it's guarded, it's protected, it's suppressed, for we know from personal experience just how damaging and destructive it can be. So we make sure our brain is engaged before our mouth is in gear. So what does that mean now? But that most of the time, or frequently, or often, what we say, our word is really not what's going on inside of there in our hearts. It's not revealing what's happening there. But you know, this is not the case. This is not the case when it comes to our loving Heavenly Father. Not so the word of our loving Heavenly Father. For the word of our loving Heavenly Father is not just letters thrown together into words and words ordered in a way to create sentences, but the word of God reveals his heart. What he thinks of us, his creatures, and what he says to us is actually a thing, a person. And that is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Follow me here. Just like the word of an architect is a building, so the Word of God is none other than the Son of God, who is constantly proceeding from the Father, and in order to be revealed to us, became man in the little baby Jesus in the manger in the stable in Bethlehem. For God, our Heavenly Father, did not want simply mankind to hear him, to hear his heart, as we do when we hear the scriptures read to us. But God, our Heavenly Father, wanted us to see his heart and to touch his heart so that we would know without doubt what our Father in heaven thinks of us. And the Word became flesh. The heart of our Heavenly Father was revealed to us on Christmas so long ago so that our hearts could be fixed. Our hearts could be changed. Our hearts would need not be checked by our brain before they flowed out of our mouths in words and sentences, but could gush forth with words of grace and beauty and wisdom. I mean, that's what happens, isn't it? Whenever the Holy Spirit has shaped and formed the heart of man, Psalm 19, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Now, where the heart of man confronted the heart of God, of course, was when Jesus was put on trial. When the Son of God was asked to speak. When the Word of God was told to reveal himself, and he remained silent. But then when he did finally reveal himself as the Word of God become flesh, what he said, that speaking, became his crime. Jesus was crucified because of what he said, because of his words. I'm the Son of God. So it seemed at that point that the word of man, crucify him, would triumph over the word of God, and Jesus was indeed crucified, but he let it be so. He let it happen so that he could offer up his heart, his human heart, which was also divine, so that we could receive what he said he was. What was he? What is he? The forgiveness of sin, the forgiveness for the evil that dwells in our hearts and which flows from our mouths and our word, the forgiveness of sin, life, salvation. And it's through the offering up of his heart, it's through the offering up of the heart of the Father that is the Son, Jesus Christ, that our hearts on Christmas Day can be fixed and renewed and regenerated. So we sing with the psalmist, create in me a clean heart, O God. That is, create in me a heart like the heart of Jesus. Create in me a heart like your heart, dear Father in heaven, which when it was revealed to me, it was revealed as a little baby, Jesus, in the manger, in the stable in Bethlehem. As you are, dear Father in heaven, as is your Son, Jesus Christ, the Word, as is your Spirit, so would I like to be, having a heart that reveals itself with love for my family and friends, tangibly, that is in things that I do, things that I say, things that I make. I mean, I think this is what we as Christians, our sins forgiven, our hearts renewed, this is what we as Christians wish our Christmas presents to convey, don't we? For when we give a gift to another on Christmas, are we not thinking even just a little bit? This is how I would always like my heart to be revealed to you. This is how I'd always like my heart to be revealed to you in this present. Now, I remember past Christmases when our children were young, and it would be such a challenge for, on the one hand, we so wanted to display our love for our children in something tangible that they would enjoy, but on the other hand, as parents, well, we still need to be parents. Couldn't let them down that fourth Coca-Cola on Christmas Eve. What is Jesus? But the very Word of God, revealing the heart of God in a most wonderful present to each and every one of us. And that is the forgiveness of sin, life and salvation, all wrapped up in a little tiny baby Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh who dwelt among us. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and sing the offertory.